Okay, I would like to present some of the methods we used for the ongoing calculation of the two-loop electrolytic corrections to the effective mixing angle. In fact, the calculation of the fermionic part is almost finished. We can produce the numbers, however, I will not present today the final results as we still need to clarify some points, but I will give some hints for the size of the effects to weak mixing angle. The outline of my talk is the following. First, I will give motivation for this calculation, although I believe it's not really needed here. Then I will remind, in fact, the definition of the effective weak mixing angle and what effects and what contributions need to be taken into account. Then I will concentrate on the most difficult parts, which are two-loop vertices, which we divide into two groups, coming from light fermions and coming from the heavy top quark, as we treat them in with different methods. Then in this calculation also the problem with gamma 5 appears, and I will show how we solve it. And then I will give preliminary results, conclusions, and outlook. This work was prepared, is being prepared in collaboration with Michał Czakon, Iris Freitas, and Georg Weiglein. And although we make one group, we work in two groups. Namely, me and Michał, we prepare in one way this calculation, and Iris Freitas and Georg Weiglein, they prepare independent calculation for the purpose of cross checks. At lab, so let me proceed to introduction to the sinus effective. For four fermion processes at lab, the most important observable is a sine squared theta effective leptonic, which is defined as the real part of the coefficient kappa, defined through the amplitude of this process multiplied by Weinberg angle. Equivalently, it can be defined by the effective Z boson vertex, where GV, GA are vertex and axial couplings of the Z boson to fermion and anti-fermion. And then sine square effective angle is defined in this way. For the matching with the experiment, we need to remember of the subtraction of the QED radiation in this process, electron positron to fermion, anti-fermion, and of the subtraction of one-loop boxes. And this part, in fact, is already included in Z-fitter. The last definition is used by experimentalists to define, to measure effective angle. The current precision is, as it was said this morning, 1.2 times 10 to minus 4. And it is expected that at the giga Z, it will go down to 10 to minus 5. It is the importance of effective mixing angle comes from the possibility of predicting, of giving limits on the Higgs boson mass. And for the mass for the top quark mass of 175 GeV, Higgs boson mass upper limit is 210 GeV. We know that for real top mass, it is 251 GeV. In the same time, from the W boson measurement, the upper limit on the Higgs boson mass is much larger. It is 800 GeV. In standard model, the dependence on the Higgs boson mass enters already at the tree level through the definition of the W boson. Then at one loop order corrections, the Higgs boson dependence appears through the counter terms to Weinberg angle, through the propagators of W boson and Z boson. And then only at the two loop order appear diagrams with Higgs boson exchanged. And as is well known, the dependence on the Higgs boson is only logarithmic. All our knowledge on the experimental and theoretical on the Higgs boson mass is contained in the well-known blue band plots. And the direct motivation for this calculation was the situation in the year 2001, where the blue band on this plot was largely broadened. The left plot shows the situation up to the calculation of the two-loop effects proportional to leading and next-leading effects calculated by Gambino, De Grassi, and Cirlin in 97. And the situation on the right-hand side is changed by the calculation performed by Holick, Freitas, and Weiglein of a W boson mass. And the right plot includes the correction through the W boson mass, as well as in the definition of the sine square theta effective by introducing it to the Weinberg angle only and not changing the coefficient kappa. And usually it is said that in this way the error might be overestimated, but it might also be that that it is correct. The contributions going to the sine square theta effective at two-loop order obtained from the definition through the vector and axial vector coupling constants looks this way, where here we have products of one-loop vertex diagrams, which are easy to calculate, however necessary for the cancellation of the divergences. And the main difficulty comes with the two-loop vertex diagrams containing this GV2 and GA2. Then also simple diagrams needs to be taken into account with the photon exchange. These are diagrams of the type Z-propagator, Z and photon, or Z-photon, photon, or Z-photon and vertex with photon. Some of them cancel with contributions from the couplings, but some of them give additional contributions. The calculation is performed in the on-shell scheme in arcsi gauge. For the renormalization, the situation is simple, as we can use all that we had for the muon decay. So the counter terms to the Weinberg angle, to the z gamma z to loop order, all were already calculated and well tested when we did muon decay. The main complication in this calculation comes from the two-loop vertices, and here are they shown, divided into classes. So we have a subloop inserted on a propagator line and vertex diagram. We divide them into two groups, those that contain top quark in the loop or those that contain only light quarks in fermion loops. And each of them we treat differently. Let me also note that the diagrams with Higgs boson cancel, are equal to zero due to CP conservation. So now let me proceed to light fermion contributions. To simplify it, we divide them into such possible prototypes. Here the thin line denotes light particle, so either photon or light quark, and solid line, which is here. I'm sorry, it's not very well visible here. Here are the W or Z boson propagators. To solve them, to get, we use IBP identities of Chytyrkin and Kachov, and reduce them to master integrals, and then by applying the differential equation method, we get the analytical result. So for the light fermions, we have, we can get the analytical result. Some cases here are very simple, as for example, propagator type subloop, where due to dimensional analysis, we can change this subloop, massless subloop, into 1/1 external momentum. So we obtain additional propagator, which causes that integration by parts identities are very simple, and allow to identify such bases of two-loop master integrals, where this integral is well-known vacuum integral, whereas here we have new types of integrals which needs to be found. And for this, so we use here the notation that this one is called LF1 and this is LF0, and on the next page it will be used. So for finding the values, we use differential equations. And so for so this prototype satisfies such differential equation, where large M is the external momentum. So in this case, this is Z boson mass, and small m is the inside the diagram mass, so W or Z boson. And after integration, we find that the result can be expressed by polylogarithms only. So it's easy and looks okay. Now some other cases are much more difficult and cannot be done by hand. For example, this case, this is the case with two W bosons on these lines. In this case, we have six different denominators, seven different scalar products, and we need eight integration by parts identities, one Lorentz invariance ID to solve this system, and to identify the master integrals. And in this case, it is not feasible by hand. Therefore, some general programs need to be developed. And we have, and we use a new program written by Michał Czakon, which is called ID Solver, previously called IBP Solver, which is based on his previous program Diagen, used for the diagram generation. And it is used to solve integration by part identities by using Laporta algorithm. So it builds, it generates large numerical bases of relations, which are then solved by Gaussian elimination. Now this program is very fast, as it can solve 10 to 5 different integrals within 1 hour, and it is used for also for other projects. It was tested for the known results, and now it is used for BABA scattering and for loop tadpole diagrams. At this point, I would also like to mention that a very interesting result was obtained with the use of this program. Namely, we know that to find the master integrals, we use either integration by parts, and sometimes we also need to use Lorentz invariance identities. And it appeared that up to now there was not found any case in which Lorentz invariance identities are really needed. Using larger amount of identities by parts, integration by parts identities, allows to solve all the cases. Of course, then the time needed to solve this the system is longer. Therefore, it's better to use Lorentz identities. So in the end, after using this program, we get short analytical result expressed by at most polylogarithms. Of course, all of these integrals, were all of these diagrams, light fermion diagrams, were tested by different means. The most easy was low momentum expansion for each separate diagram, as well as for the sum of all the diagrams. In some cases, Mellin-Barnes integration was also applied. Another test of this contribution were the cancellation of the divergences and psi-dependent terms in the whole result. For the independent test, we had the calculation of Iris Freitas. The same he used integration by part identities and Lorentz invariance IDs. For the topologies with self-energy subloop, he used dispersion relations, which were before used in the propagator case, which allowed to reduce to loop integrals to one-dimensional integrals, which can be easily numerically found. For the diagrams with a triangle subloop, dispersion relations also can be applied, however, then it is much more complex. Therefore, he introduces Feynman parameters and then integrates numerically over up to three-dimensional integrations. We checked all the diagrams, light fermion diagrams, and the results are okay. Now, let me go to top quark contributions. Here, the situation is much more complicated, as obtaining analytical result is much more tedious. Obtaining the numerical result takes much more time. Therefore, we use heavy quark mass expansion. And here, in this case, as we have two scales, MZ boson scale and M-top scale, which are proportional to 1 over 4, we will see that the convergence of expansion is quite good. We have four types of diagrams with heavy top. And here, the thick line denotes top quark. And the dashed line, this is either bottom quark or top quark, depending on the boson, which is on the wavy line. For the expansion, it doesn't matter as when the types are the same. So on the left-hand side are the possible diagrams, and on the right-hand side we have the expansions of this diagram, where the left diagrams of each product needs to be taken exactly, but these are very simple diagrams, at most products of one loop diagrams. And the right-hand side diagrams are expanded in light masses, but these are all vacuum diagrams, so also easy to calculate. Let me remind that previously were only considered leading and next to leading terms proportional, so m top to the power 4 and m top to power 2. Presently, with this programs, we can go down to arbitrary order. In practice, we go to m top to minus 20, which is more than enough in practice. Let me show you the convergence of the expansions that we obtained. So, for example, for the neutral current diagram with two Z bosons, the first three terms look this way, and they give the following contributions. And this is the case for all the other diagrams with Z boson. For the diagrams with the W boson, we cannot present such simple formulas, let me show you the numerical results. For the H order of the top quark mass expansion, we have this number. And for the Taylor expansion, which we use for the cross-checks of these diagrams, the number is quite similar. And the actual relative error is 10 to minus 4. So So even for the experimental precision of 10 to minus 5, this is very good. And the W boson diagrams again were tested with the calculation of Iris Freitas. Now the problem of gamma 5 triangles. So if you want to use dimensional regularization, where if we have fermion triangles, there appears a problem with gamma 5. Namely, if you want to keep commuting gamma mu gamma 5, then in D dimension, this relation does not hold. The possible solutions are at least two. One of them is using Hoft-Weltmann scheme, in which we take the first relation and gamma 5 defined in D dimensions. The method is used in few cases, as it's very tedious and therefore not applicable to general cases. However, in muon decay case, it was already checked that a naive scheme in which we defined these two relations as true in D dimensions, where it was checked that that this scheme is compatible with the scheme of the Hoft-Weltmann. And here the contributions come from the top quark, namely. The only problem appears if in front of the traces with gamma 5, divergences appear. And here, unfortunately, such diagrams appear, namely the diagrams with photon. So these two cases in which we have collinear divergences. And then it appears that using a naive scheme cancels only leading divergences and other divergences still stay. The simplest solution seems to be taking a massive photon and then proceed with the same methods. However, then we get final result. However, infrared divergences due to photon mass appear. We checked that they cancel within one quark and lepton family, and the complete contribution vanish for equal masses. So therefore, for the light fermion, for massless families, this contribution are zero, and the only non-zero contribution comes from the third family with the top quark. At present, this is the only point which is still under cross checks, because the effect appears to be relatively large. We know from muon decay that the effect for the zero external momentum is very small. It was 0.3 MeV. And therefore, we expect that for effective mixing angle at zero momentum, the effect should be very small. However, we cannot approximate the effect due to trace gamma 5 for the external momentum on Z boson mass. So we need to cross-check this yet. So these are the preliminary results. However, they should be taken with care. First of all, the results need to be taken. This is just to show some numbers. First of all, W boson mass and Z boson mass here are constant numbers. As we know, the W boson mass must be taken as in the pole mass scheme, and second, it must be shifted. It must be calculated with the two loop, all the known corrections, which is not included in these numbers that I present here. The interesting points are the following: that for Higgs boson mass, equal 100, the contribution to the sine square theta effective two loop is very small. It almost cancels. So it can suggest that the prediction of Georg-Weiglein that that the error comes mainly from the W boson mass might be correct. We don't know yet what are the contributions. We are not sure on the contributions from the gamma 5, but it can be. Here, light fermions, second, here LF denotes a light fermion contribution. So these are two loop vertices with light with the first and the coming from the first and from the second family, whereas top contributions contain diagrams with top quark and bottom quark. And let me note here that these contributions are larger than predicted previously. So it might change when. So this is surprising because they were predicted to be around one times 10 to minus 5, and this is 5, and then it goes even larger. So it can change when we use correct W boson mass. It can then it can go smaller. But if this is true, then it means that the previous estimations were incorrect. And then here also QCD corrections are included. So we have two loop QCD corrections, which are known for a very long time. However, here are recalculated with a big quark mass. We included alpha alpha S square corrections known from Chetyrkin and Kim. And then recent results of Kim and Feist. So in conclusion, I want to say that the complete two-loop fermionic contributions are now available as top quark mass expansions and analytic expressions for the massless fermions. They are tested by independent calculation. They are tested by low momentum expansion. Arc psi gauge is tested and for each part, and divergences are cancelled at this moment. Now also the fitting formula is going to be prepared very soon and then applied to Z-fitter, and it should be done during next week or two by Michał Czakon and Tord Ruman. Therefore, the full final result should be presented in one of the forthcoming conferences, either in Paris by Ares Freitas or on loops and legs by Michał Czakon. And then the same methods will be used for the pure bosonic corrections soon. So that's it.
Thank you very much. Beautiful talk.
I wanted to make a comment on this contribution from
The top triangle, which you mentioned towards the end. There's a very similar phenomenon when one tries to when one calculates the two-loop QCD corrections in Z decay. You have a diagram where the Z couples to a triangle top loop and then goes into two gluons and then goes into BB bar. And there the phenomenon is in fact that the contribution is relatively large and it's enhanced by a log of M top over M Z. And the reason for that is simply that this is a remnant of the anomaly. When you try to sort of decouple the top quark, the theory hits back with a large logarithm. So it might well be that your large effect has a similar origin.
I I have a couple of questions. You said something at the beginning that I don't understand. You said that from MW you get an upper bound for the Higgs of 800 GeV.
The experimental bound, right?
What?
The experimental bound is of this order.
But the experimental value of MW, you get very low value for MH. The prediction for MH is very low. I mean, if you take the experimental value of MW and try to predict MH, the upper bound is, you know, I pointed out, it's something like 122 GeV. It's very sensitive. So you seem to imply that it's very insensitive. It's extremely sensitive.
Okay. Sorry, I mixed. There was done some fitting for the theoretical values of W boson mass contra Higgs boson mass. Iris Freitas did that some time ago. I would need to look for this.
The other comment you said that this observation that the effect of the mass of the W in the theoretical calculation of sine square effective, maybe possibly right. I think it's a very strange statement. I don't believe it. That you can calculate the error of sine square effective left from the error of MW.
Yes.
And we even wrote it in a paper, you know, the arguments against that. You see, for one reason, there are huge corrections in the calculation of MW and the calculation of kappa that cancel, okay, or they get decreased by a factor of sine square or cosine square. If you do the calculation, the proportionality to 1 minus MW square of MZ square is characteristic of the on-shell scheme. But if you do the calculation in the Messoir scheme, there is no such proportionality. So the mass of the W doesn't enter in the same way at all.
If you do it in
the effective scheme, it decouples completely. The calculation of sine square effective doesn't depend on the calculation of MW. So I find it very strange to believe that the theoretical error on sine square effective, you know, follows from the error.
Yes, I agree. That's why I was also surprised when I saw this result. It simply seems to look like that at this moment. Uh-huh. But it's very probable that it will change when we add all the rest.
Yeah, yeah.
Simply at this moment, it's surprising.
We wrote some comments about that in a published paper, so I can mention to you. Okay, thank you.
Any more comment or questions? If not, thanks again very much. We have the coffee break.